welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto, OP, pastor and director of the Catholic community. It is the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
That's real nice, all that weeping and gnashing of teeth, and you say, "Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ." This is not a baptismal set of readings. Maybe we can do something about that. Ages ago, I worked in a shelter in El Paso, Texas. The local Salvation Army had been hoodwinked into sponsoring a preacher named Alberto Rivera. He said he was a former priest. Then he went on to say he was a former bishop. And even greater yet, a former Jesuit. There is this human peculiarity. The more outrageous a person is, the more people believe him. Sounds just like election year politics. Now, He taught me things I had no idea. I never knew the church was so powerful. He claimed the Vatican caused World War I, the Russian Revolution, and World War II. And I call that impressive. He preached that Jesuits connived Lincoln's assassination, influenced Karl Marx, trained Trotsky, Lenin, and Stalin. What a class. He didn't stop. He said Jesuits wrote Mein Kampf, directed the Ku Klux Klan, the Nazis, and the Freemasons. Now, as a Dominican, I object. I feel left out. Why do Jesuits have all the fun? So he was leading a classic anti-Catholic crusade. And the more he preached, and the louder he got, and the more he insisted that Catholics were all going to hell because we didn't believe correctly, the more his listeners applauded and cheered. It was hate-filled, and I felt sick being there. Interestingly enough, Alberto had already been exposed as a fraud in Cornerstone and Christian Century, both evangelical Protestant magazines. He was nothing, he claimed, but he had his followers. You know, the affair reveals the dark side of human nature. That crowd could feel good about themselves by demonizing a whole class of others. We do it sometimes. It might be gossip or harsh judgment. We can feel so certain of our position and refuse to consider someone else's. Exclusivity and judgmentalism can make us feel so right, yet we can be so wrong. Thank God, God is not so exclusive. Our first reading said, "I come to gather nations of every language, and they shall come and see my glory." Isaiah went further and dropped a bombshell. You probably missed it. In Judaism, priests and Levites are hereditary. From Levi, Aaron. Can you imagine their reaction when the prophet announced some of these? And these were Gentiles. "I will take as priests and Levites," says the Lord. Today's gospel, God says, wants a truly universal banquet. People will come from east and west, from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And every time you hear that word, recline at table, you know it's a major feast. It is a major pachanga, party. But wait. What happened to that noxious little question, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" Jesus' reply didn't sound that welcoming. So let's put it in a historical, cultural context. Don't think the questioner was really hoping that Romans, tax collectors, adulteresses, and sinners would be saved. You know, his question, and the way the question reads in Greek, is always looking for a particular answer, could have been phrased this way: Lord, of course only a few of us righteous one will be saved. Right? God forbid that those low lives, those other people, should get to heaven. It's a good question. After all, Jesus was just too cozy with the wrong sort of people. In this life, Jesus' reply takes on a very, very different tone. He is as much as saying, hey, with that attitude, I wouldn't worry about them. I'd worry about myself if I were you. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. See, knowing Jesus, being part of his tribe, village, or family, or even part of his church, is no guarantee of salvation. We can say, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets. Familiarity with Jesus isn't enough, because Jesus wants more. He wants a responsive heart. Our salvation is being loved by God and loving God in return. But you got to give God permission to love you. For love can't be forced. It's a free gift, freely received and freely returned. Love is not a one-way street. One-way love is merely being nice. God is love, and he's simply not nice. Love's a relationship, and a relationship can be awfully demanding. God demands that we be as expansive as God in goodness and inclusive as God in caring. God wants us to strive to be our better self, and by his grace, yet even more. God's project is your joy. Sometimes I think we forget that God wants to ravish you. We call it the beatific vision. God wants to share his very being with you. We call it sanctifying grace. God wants you. Why else would the Word become flesh? Why else would Jesus be baptized? If only so that what the Spirit, what the Father said to him at the baptism, he says to every baptized child: you are my beloved, in whom I delight. Why does Jesus give you his flesh and blood? To join divinity to our humanity so that our humanity might share in his divinity. God simply wants to invade your very being. And that's what happens in baptism. Now, the cross is proof that Jesus didn't play it safe. He made himself vulnerable, and he asks us to become vulnerable in forgiving, sharing, and loving. But that means got to do the hard work of getting rid of a lot of, well, in my case, selfishness and egocentric, you know, all that bad stuff. I got to stop putting up walls and start building bridges. Our second reading quoted the psalm: do not disdain the discipline of the Lord or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. Now, we don't want to hear that, do we? God uses the events of our lives to move us to wholeness. So at the second reading said, all discipline seems a cause not for joy but for pain. Yet later it becomes the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Yeah, we don't want to be disciplined. But let's face it, if you were one of the Olympic athletes, right, you would want your coach to train and discipline you for that hard work to win the gold. Yes, God challenges us. But let me be real quick to explain one thing. God does not send evil our way. or want another to do evil to us, to sin against us, so that we might learn and grow. No way. But I am convinced that God can grace any moment to pull good out of evil, growth from hardship. Our task is to let His grace redeem the moment, to say yes to God's transforming presence. We're all enrolled in the school of hard knocks simply because we're human. Funny, Jesus enrolled Himself in that same school so that we wouldn't have to study alone. Sadly, we postpone our education when we embrace an attitude of judgment, exclusiveness, or entitlement. We deny transformation when we don't make time to hear God's call in the moment. We stop God's grace when we hold back offering a helping hand or an understanding ear or a forgiving word. So there's this urgency to Jesus. This urgency, strive to enter through the narrow door. We are each given only so much time to let God's love in. Seize the moment. Seize the grace. And let's pray for Alberto and all like him. There is simply too much hatred in this world for us to add to it. We really do want the world to be baptized. Not with the fire of pain, not with the fire of judgment, but that same fire which came upon the apostles, the very Spirit, the Spirit of God's love poured out on everyone who would say yes.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.